Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, we had another Friday full of frenzy.
Game Time is supported by the South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organization Center. Through CTSOs, South Dakota students can learn professional development, leadership, and industry-specific skills, helping students learn, lead, and succeed.
All right, another week of Game Time here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. Last week we had countless thrillers, and we kind of said, man, I hope we're sitting here in a week and we're talking about a few more. And we didn't have maybe as many thrillers as we did a week ago, but we certainly had some of big importance.
We definitely did. Some highly ranked teams going at it. As usual, our 11 AA crazy games that we get every single week. We had a couple more of those. And we have to talk about the first one that everybody across the state's talking about, the rematch of the 11 AAA championship from last year.
Yeah, it was Brandon Valley hosting Sioux Falls Lincoln, two undefeateds, both different styles, as Brandon kind of likes to play a little bit slower pace, whereas Lincoln can score on you in about 30 seconds at
times. And they're out of the huddle in about 2 seconds.
Absolutely. And we talked about that explosive offense. And the final score, 35-30. So Lincoln did get held from what they're typically been going after. Their defense did have some big moments in the game, I thought. But, yeah, it came down to the final possession. Lincoln had a couple shots at the end zone right there at the end, and it just went Brandon's way.
Coming out of the second half, again, both teams score. And then I think we traded leads maybe, I think, six times I counted in this game in the second half. It was crazy back-and-forth game. And what stuck out to me is, you know, Brandon Valley had a runner in Levi Veskrin that ran for almost 300 yards, went out due to a cramp. Then his backup comes in and runs for 100 more yards.
Next man up mentality.
They were able to run the ball at will. And then you look on the other side, and Brody Schaefer, every time he got the ball, he was able to move his team quickly down the field against one of the best defenses in the state. There were some times they forced him to punt, which were huge. And this game really did come down to a lot of penalties as well. I think Brandon Valley has some penalties on the field that they regret, and I think Lincoln definitely had some as well. But coming into the game, Brandon Valley was down a couple of their regular starters, including their quarterback, Briggs Knutson, who didn't play in this game, and his backup did great. Will Van Leer came in and did a nice job. So you're right, next man up mentality was huge in this game.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the thing that I most took away from Brandon Valley with – all of the hype that Sioux Falls Lincoln was getting, and with the injuries and all of that they had to deal with, their heart and determination was on full display. And it's just, I know it came down to like a fluky little fumble right there at the end.
Yeah.
And it could have went either way. You know, even the play before that, Brody Schaefer missed a wide open touchdown pass, which is very uncharacteristic of him. But you find a way to win, and that's what Brandon Valley did. Well, and then we had another one in 11AA, and it happened out west. So at the time when the Lincoln-Brandon Valley game was concluding, people could flip over if they wanted to and watch the conclusion of Yankton and Sturgis Brown. Yeah, and we've talked about Sturgis a few times here this season, and we like Sturgis. We think that them and Spearfish are both two teams that really have something going with the culture that they have for football. You know, look at what Sturgis did, you know, throughout the season. You know, they have some losses, but they're a tough team that is going to be a tough out for anybody. And to see Sturgis get that win, we talk about 11AA, how it's just kind of this cluster where we don't really have that clear number one, and it got more confusing this week.
It got more confusing, and congrats to Sturgis. You know, they scored with 54 seconds left to take that lead. They had to shut down probably the most potent passing attack in the class for that last 54 seconds, and they were able to do it. They were able to shut down Tate Bestie and Owen Eidsness and those guys who make some big plays all over the field. So not only their offense has been explosive this year, and Jackson Kano did a great job running the football, but their defense held up at the right time.
And then there was an 11AAA versus 11AA matchup. You had O'Gorman going up against Pierre. Another one that came down to the wire.
We weren't sure about this one because Pierre, you know, had come off a couple of crushing losses, and O'Gorman had really been rising up, getting their guys healthy. Gavin Hamrick was back. But it was Pierre who got out early in this one. They led 23-7 over O'Gorman, but then the Knights put 20 points in a row on the board, and you felt like they kind of were in their rhythm at that point.
Momentum changes.
And then at the end of the game, the Knights needed a fourth down stop from their own five-yard line. Cooper Twilliger was over the middle. Caleb Lounsbury had a good shot at him, just couldn't connect to make that play, and O'Gorman gets the win.
Yeah, it's all of these games, one or two things go differently, and we're talking about different results, and that's the beauty of football. So.
That's exactly for sure.
And then we had another close one in 11A because we're talking about Del Rapids and West Central.
Yeah, and
that was a one-point
game. These were the two contenders to me that feel like, okay, we saw what Sioux Falls Christian did to Madison. Maybe Del Rapids or West Central could be that team that contends with Sioux Falls Christian. Dell's got up early in this one, but it was West Central who took the lead 7-6. It was a low-scoring battle. And then at the end of the game, there was a two-point conversion to try to take the lead in this one. They couldn't convert, and Dell's, you know, got it done in the last second of the game. Another thrilling finish in high school football in South Dakota.
And then you got Clark Willow Lake defeats Duel. Another one-possession game.
Another one-possession game. We saw Duel with the walk-off a couple weeks ago against Sioux Valley. This week, it was Clark Willow Lake basically getting them back for that. It was a 14-14 tie. Fourth down, Joey Rees finds Cooper Palmer, a crazy grab that time. He goes up in the back of the end zone and comes down with the football from 15 yards out. They took the lead and then held on for the victory. 11B, a lot of good teams in that class as well, and those two are right there.
Should we talk about the Scotties a little bit with that matchup they had against Hill City?
We have to. That was
high-scoring game and just absolutely thrilling.
You know, some of these teams, they lose early. Like, Phillip lost early to Wall and haven't lost since then, so we kind of just forget about them. But this is a good team. This Phillip Scotties team is good. They had a two-score lead for most of this game. Up until about 7 minutes left, Hill City really started to get their mojo in action, and they cut the lead to 7, and then the Rangers cut it again with 3:16 left in the game, and the Rangers went for 2 at that point to try to take that lead with 3:16, and the Scotties stopped them, and then they held on from there. There were over 900 yards of offense in this game.
That's insane.
It was crazy. If you like offense, that was the game for you.
It's almost like a six-man football game that you sometimes see with all the yardage.
It looked like basketball on a football field for sure.
Again, we appreciate everybody that sends these in every week. It really does help round out the show, and we rely on you guys to help share some of these breakout performances with us every week.
And boy, the list continued to pile in this week. We found a lot of players. Brock Bauer out of Timber Lake, he caught 200 yards worth of passes with 4 touchdowns in their big win. Josiah Baum, another big game for him. 5 touchdowns on the day, 4 rushing, 1 through a kick return. Jackson Kano, we mentioned, over 100 passing, almost 200 yards rushing, and 3 touchdowns. Britton Heckler's defense came up big and held their opponent to less than 0 yards on the field. Hard to do, Nate.
Oh, man, I mean, that's incredible. How do you even, you know, when you look at film, I don't even know what you nitpick apart this week.
Let's continue with the list. Elliot Erickson, how about that? 16 carries. I did do a double take when I first saw this. 350 yards and 6 touchdowns for the Elkton Lake Benton running back. And he's been solid this year. That was a huge game.
Get the ball 16 times and you're scoring on more than a third of those. So, I mean, that's absolutely incredible. And that's my South Dakota math doing just a quick calculation.
That was good, by the way. Chevy Fees, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Also a punt return touchdown and a receiving touchdown. Mitchell Gothmiller went for a 4 touchdown day. Bryce Hawkinson, a 4 touchdown day. Josiah Hines, over 100 yards in AAA football with 3 touchdowns. Chase Hermanson passed for almost 300 yards. Kyle Hedick, another big day for him in Ipswich. You see, stuffing the stat sheet. Luke Larson for Woonsocket at Westington Springs, Sanborn Central, keeps his team undefeated with a huge performance. Johnny Lenz, another Kimball Whitelake nominee coming in. 12 rushes, 148, and 2 touchdowns. Caleb Lounsbury, even in the loss, played a really good game. How about Rush O'Neill, another team that took a loss last week, but it wasn't because of him. 8 catches, 141, and 2 touchdowns. Luke Peters out of Freeman Marion Freeman Academy. They ran the ball a little bit last week. 143 yards and 4 scores on just 6 rushes. Brody Schaefer, another quarterback getting on the list, even though he was in a loss, putting up some big numbers. Carter Shufflebine has been on this list several times this year. 5 catch, 146 day with 2 touchdowns. Owen Schmidt out of McCook Central Montrose. He was the workhorse on the day. 4 rushing touchdowns, 1 through the air. And then Luke Schmitz, another big day for Elk Point. Jefferson scoring 3 touchdowns on the day. And that's probably just a fraction of what actually happened across the state.
Absolutely.
A ton of great stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff. And again, we want to thank you, all of the viewers, for this, that send us that information every week, because yeah, there is no like stat database, right?
No.
In South Dakota. So
we're trying, by the way. Yep. By the way, the Coaches Association is trying to get together to get people to everybody put their stats on Bound, which is the SDHSAA website, but that might take a little time. So just a little PSA. Go put your stats on Bound. That would help everybody very much. But you're right. There's no place to get it. So we rely on coaches and players and parents across the state.
And we also want to just take a quick moment, too, to thank everybody for watching us on YouTube every week and subscribing to our YouTube channel, things like that. Some of you might check us out in the podcast world as well, which we greatly appreciate that. Give us a 5-star review if you like us.
If you like Nate.
If you soak us in every week on the Spotify, Apple world in Podcastville. And then, of course, every Wednesday night, you can catch the show at 10 Central, 9 Mountain on SDPB. Also, we're getting into championship season. We have the state fall golf championships going on this week with Class AA and A boys. We've got the girls tennis championships with Class A, Class AA as well. We'll give a little bit of a recap on that next week.
Nate keeps you keeps busy with championship season, and like you said, it hits this week and it doesn't stop until the end of volleyball coming up in November. So just stay with SDPB. We've got you covered.
All right. Well, let's jump in, Jandy, to how about the seedings and the playoff push?
The playoff
seedings
push.
Are kind of confusing because it's not a one-size-fits-all, especially as we'll mention right away here with 11 AAA. But I think it's important to kind of go through this and just kind of give a broad overview as to what some of the seedings mean at this point and how some matchups here in the next week or two could potentially change some of these seedings.
Exactly. And this is not just for the top teams that we talk about every week. This is for any team trying to make the playoffs, trying to figure out if they're going to maybe get a home game, try to figure out maybe who they're going to play if the playoffs started today. And I think everybody kind of gets into that playoff push mode here. But you're right, they're all a little different, and it's important to remind. I have to remind myself every year exactly how does this work now? And we'll start in 11 AAA where it's a little different with them. They only take games that they play against each other in the class. That way everybody plays the exact same schedule and then they can just seed it by that.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense for what 11 AAA has just based on the number of teams and things like that that they have. So yeah, I mean, I say let's get into it. And obviously when you look at the standings this week, and maybe if you're looking at the media polls and stuff this week, you know, obviously a little bit something different right at the top there, but a lot of that came down to that Brandon Valley Sioux Falls Lincoln game that happened on Friday night.
Yeah, Brandon takes that number one spot, but remember, if you get a number one or two, it's pretty much the same. You're probably going to have home games or in the quarterfinals and the semifinals. And then once you get to the dome, I mean, it matters which jersey color you wear, but that's about it. So Brandon Valley and Sioux Falls Lincoln looking like those top two teams. But Harrisburg has a chance to run the table, and they get Lincoln at the end of the season. That could be a big game for that number two seed to really secure them as the home field spot. So Harrisburg still with a lot to play for.
Yeah, and if it ends like that where you have, say, Harrisburg and Lincoln at that 2 and 3 spot, where if Harrisburg would find a way to jump them, well, odds are that potentially semifinal night of the playoffs, they'd get a rematch with the 2-3 matchup.
Exactly. And we've had all kinds of weird stuff in 11 AAA where these teams know each other so well. And that could definitely happen again. O'Gorman, by the way, has the tie break against Jefferson for that 4 seed right now. But Jefferson has a lot of tough games coming up here between now and the end of the season as well. A lot of this could change. And then another thing to note is right at the bottom. Only 8 of these 9 teams make the playoffs, and there's 2 winless teams right now. And those 2 teams play against each other this week in Sioux Falls, Roosevelt and Rapid City Stevens. So that'll be a big game for those 2 programs to try to make the qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah, you want to make the postseason where anything can happen. So it's you definitely want to be in that 1-8 spot in 11 AAA. 11 AA, you got Huron now that is being voted as a top team, as the number one with Yankton going down, and the seeding points also show Huron in that one spot right now.
You had a chance to talk to Drew Strand a little bit too.
Did.
And that's been an impressive team. Last week against Douglas, they were able to kind of rest some players and still got a really good performance. So they look like a number one team to me.
Yeah, and one thing that Drew Strand did say to me that I thought was really interesting is he said this is his fourth year as the head coach. They've had the same offense, same defensive systems now for 4 years. So he says these freshmen that he got a chance to work with and implement this system are now seniors. And now they're helping, rather than just the coaching staff trying to mold these younger players into the system, the players that have been a part of it are now helping to mold them as well. Yeah. So we've talked about it all the time that coaching staffs drastically matter when we're talking about high school football. Some programs deal with a lot of changeover and stuff like that. So when you can have consistency, look at Peer,
right.
Look at their coaching staff and things like that. There's a reason I think that you could say, well, they've had a lot of great players, but you got to have a staff as
well.
You
got to have the staff. And that's a great point, and it's one of the reasons why Huron's been a surprise this
mm-hmm.
year. But Huron, left on their schedule, they play the 8 seed, the 10 seed, and the 7 seed. So, I mean, it's looking like they're in the driver's seat. We know anything can happen in 11AA, but they are in the driver's seat for that number one spot. And we have to mention, in 11AA, we don't go by record. We go by seed points only, and there's a seed point system the South Dakota High School Activity Association has agreed on. You can look at that on their website. But basically, you get more points for the tougher wins you get, and you get more points for the tougher losses that you get as well. So,
yep, absolutely. And if you look through those 1-7, there's no teams right now with a losing record in 11AA.
Right.
You know, Brookings sitting there at 3-3, but everybody else, I mean, it's such a cluster, and we love it because it makes it exciting.
It's NFL type stuff.
Absolutely.
It's just a parody.
Yep. So, and then, you know, you look at 11A, okay? So we know about Sioux Falls Christian, and everybody has just kind of said, man, they've just been steamrolling everybody every year. Everybody kind of thinks, well, they're probably going to be the number one seed. But they played Del Rapids in a couple of weeks. Could this impact the 1-2 spot in 11A if Del Rapids in a couple of weeks were to get an upset win over Sioux Falls Christian?
Yeah, it's a week from Friday that those two teams play, and if Del Rapids goes into that game and wins this Friday, they control their own destiny. They could get that number one spot, and it's going to be a tough task, obviously, going against Sioux Falls Christian, but that's something that's definitely on the table for those teams. And a couple other notes in 11A, West Central, they could win out and earn a home game at number four. They're sitting at number four right now. That would be huge for them to get a home field game. Lennox is the team, you know, the state champs from last year. They've got a really tough schedule in front of them with Madison, Tri-Valley, and Del Rapids, and they're already at six. I mean, there's a scenario Lennox doesn't make the tournament. They have to be top eight to make it in 11A.
Yep.
I think they will, but it could happen.
Right, and just so, I guess, just to clarify, 11AAA, 11AA, 11A, they take eight teams to the postseason.
Right.
11B and the 3 9-man classes, they take 16 teams,
right.
And those 3 9-man classes, 11B, they start their playoffs a week earlier.
Exactly, that's exactly right. So one more regular season game for those bigger classes, one fewer regular season game for those smaller classes, but they get an extra playoff game.
So let's look real quick before we jump to 9-man. Let's look at 11B. You got Elk Point, Jefferson, St. Thomas More. You got Woonsocket, Westington Springs, Sanborn Central that are still undefeated in this class. How does the seeding work for this one? Because you've got a lot of unbeatens yet.
You got a lot of unbeatens. It comes down to really the strength of schedule, and that's where a team like Mobridge Pollock is still undefeated, but they just haven't had the luck of the draw to play a good schedule yet this year. And they're dealing with some injuries right now. So this could be a case where you have an undefeated team, but their seeding is still in big question because they've got two tough games in front of them. But for those top teams, I mean, Elk Point Jefferson is looking really good. They've got Flander and Sioux Valley ahead of them. St. Thomas More has Hot Springs and Lee Deadwood. And Woonsocket, Westington Springs, Sanborn Central has Chamberlain and Mount Vernon Plankinton. So really all winnable games. We could have three undefeated teams at the top here, and then depending on what Mobridge Pollock does, maybe four teams who are undefeated going into the playoffs, which is crazy.
So then you got Hot Springs here, right? So Hot Springs currently has that final spot. They've got one game left on their schedule, and it's St. Thomas More.
Right.
But if they lose to St. Thomas More, it doesn't necessarily hurt their seed points because of how strength of schedule works with how good St. Thomas More's record is.
A loss to an undefeated team is almost the same amount of points, just two less, than a win against a team that's winless. So really, that seed point average is going to get them, if they lose that game, is 39 points. Their seed point average right now is at 38, so it actually would raise their seed point average. So Hot Springs looking like they'll be able to qualify for the playoffs at this point. But like I said, all the seed points change depending on week by week. They reevaluate those records and replug them in.
Yeah, and Coach Kramer has done a great job at Hot Springs throughout the years. You know, they obviously have the state championship from in recent history too, to kind of go with that resume. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's done an excellent job out west with that Hot Springs program. Let's move on to the 9AA standings here real quick. So, obviously, we talk about Freeman, Marion, Freeman Academy, and just the season that they have had. But Hamlin, also undefeated still.
Hamlin hasn't played as good of a schedule right now as the Phoenix, so that would benefit the Phoenix. But Freeman still has probably Avon, so they leave the last game open for a conference title game, which in the Great Plains Conference looks like it's going to be Freeman, Marion, Freeman Academy, and Avon, two undefeated teams. So there's some hope still for Hamlin to capture that number one spot, but more than likely Freeman gets that top spot, and then you've got Hamlin and Elkton who end up the year, you know, the winner of that game when they play each other should probably be able to move up into that two spot, which would be huge. But they might play each other a couple times within the span of a couple weeks.
Yeah, 9AA, this is another one where everything, there's a lot of congestion that is right near the top in those top five, six teams that it really will be interesting. And when we talk about the importance of seedings, about what's the difference between being a one and a two, well, if you're the one, if everything goes wash, then you'd be playing the four. If you're the two, then if everything goes wash, you'd be playing the three. So there is a lot to be said about that seeding position in the standings.
Yeah, and some years it's more beneficial than others to really target a team that you either know really well or you match up against really well. So, you know, these coaches are doing these numbers, you know, week by week as well, and kind of know where they're sitting and who they might play. They might not tell you, but they have a good idea of where they're going to be, and there's certain teams that are really locked in to try to get a certain seed.
Absolutely. So then we got 9A. We've got Wall, who we've talked about. We've got Warner, who we've talked about. Phillip has been a team that since Wall has figured it out. But, okay, so you look at the top, though. Let's look at these top two teams. They look so even on paper. How many different tiebreakers exist with Wall-Warner if the two end up where it's a tie at the end?
Yeah, so tying in seed points, first of all, they go down to the 1,000th decimal point to try to figure out the seed points. And then if they tie, there are several tiebreakers. And then we go all the way down to the 7th tiebreak, the opponent's average seed points, which I didn't want to go that far and look into that because those change
every
single
week. Yeah, those will change a lot over the next couple weeks.
Depending on who beats whom. So really what we're saying here is Wall and Warner are looking good at the top two spots, and we'll probably get home games, but it's really hard to tell right now who's going to be the number one seed overall.
And then you got 9B. Okay, so we talked about Avon. They've got a conference, probably what's going to be the conference championship coming up near the end of the season for that. But
that's going to be tough because, you know, they're going to play like Avon's going to play like Freeman.
Right, and it's a different, they're different classes.
Doesn't matter on the class. Yeah. You know, there's no additional seed points for playing a tougher class or breaks if you play, you know, an easier game. So they're going to have to play them. If they would take a loss like they did last year, you know, all of a sudden St. Mary and Sully Buttes hurdle them for that number one or two spot. A couple of quick notes on 9B, I have to say. Sioux Falls Lutheran would probably qualify for their first playoffs in school history. And then Northwestern is winless in 9B and still could make the playoffs. So that just shows right now 9B, you know, you got some really top teams, and then there's a lot of teams that are kind of vying for a spot in the playoffs. But there's some interesting stuff that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. This just gives you a primer on the playoff push, but it's definitely not the full story.
Well, and to kind of get us amped up, I guess, for this final push of the season, we've got some big games coming up this Friday. What are some of the top tilts that you're looking at? I think we can look at the two helmets that are right in front of us to start, and that's Harrisburg and Sioux Falls Jefferson.
Yeah, Harrisburg has not played Jefferson, Brandon Valley, or Lincoln. So their toughest test so far this year has been O'Gorman. Mm-hmm. So they lost. So they are really looking to make a mark in this game. Jefferson has been able to play with Lincoln, but not quite win. Play with O'Gorman, but not quite win. They want to get a nice victory under their belt. So this is a huge game for them. Brookings takes on Yankton, our 11AA game of the week. Could be that one, or it could be Sturgis Pier. Both those two games should be really good, just as most of these games in 11AA have been all year long.
Well, and what happened the last time we saw Yankton suffer a loss? I know it was to Harrisburg. It was an 11AAA game, but it was...
They came out
with determination, and they wanted to leave no doubt. So here you go again, where Yankton coming off that loss to Sturgis. It's crowded. People are now talking about here on this week, you know, maybe that's something that coaches are writing up on the bulletin board as far as motivation and the film study and all that type of stuff this week down in Yankton. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a good game. And Brookings is another team that they've beaten some teams this year.
They got some quality talent. They've had to make some changes in their backfield, but definitely a team that could be dangerous.
And then Sturgis now coming off this big-time win.
Yeah.
That we saw against Yankton. And now they got to quickly pivot, go on the road and say, hey, we just did this, but now we're going to try to do it again, and we got to try to take down Pier Governors.
And Pier, you know, even though they have three losses, they could easily have won those three games. Those were all three close losses to Yankton, to O'Gorman, and to Huron. So, I mean, I think they're a really quality team, but we all know Sturgis can beat anybody.
And then you got Madison, Lennox.
Huge game for Lennox.
We talked about Lennox, how they need, you know, they're maybe potentially at risk of maybe missing the postseason in 11A. This is a game I think you're going to see Lennox come out. It's at home. It's in Lennox. I think watch out for Lennox to try to make a little bit more of a statement here to put themselves back into a position for the postseason.
For sure. And then Mobridge Pollock taking on Clark Willow Lake. Clark Willow Lake just beating an undefeated team last week in duel and now has another chance to knock off another undefeated team. Mobridge Pollock, as I said, dealing with some injuries right now. But this would be a huge game for them to put on the board. But one additional game we have to add here is Elkton Lake Benton taking on Britton Hecla. Because of some scheduling changes, those two teams both had their games forfeited. They decided to play each other this week. So that's going to be a really fun one-loss teams in 9AA.
Yeah, that's really interesting when you see that kind of stuff pop up on the schedule. But injuries, when you deal with injuries and some of these roster sizes that we have, and some of them where there's a lot of youth, where maybe there's like some 7th, 8th graders that need to have playing time, you start thinking a little bit about
the health and safety
of some of your players when you're going up against maybe a senior or a junior on the other side of the ball that's maybe been in the weight room a little bit more the last three, four years.
Yeah, it could be a little dangerous. And then a couple other 9-man games, Hanson taking on Viberg-Hurley. Hanson had played a really good game last week, almost took out Howard, and Viberg-Hurley is trying to make a run back into contention. And then Alcester-Hudson, St. Mary's. This will be the biggest test of the year for St. Mary's. This is a team, to me, that doesn't look like a 9B team because they've got a few more players than they have on the sidelines in the last few years. They've got some big boys up front. But Alcester-Hudson is a very legit offensive group that has gotten much better on the defensive side, too.
Yeah, and talk about Alcester-Hudson's schedule a little bit, because they've had some really tough games this season.
Yeah, exactly. They've challenged themselves. And a couple years ago, that was the issue. They really weren't challenging themselves, would come up with a good record, get into the playoffs, and struggle. This year, you know, they're taking on some really good teams week after week, and St. Mary's is definitely one of those teams.
All right. Well, those are just some of the top tilts that we have for the week. The playoff picture will become maybe a little clearer next week, but we still have a couple weeks to go for some of the classes, and in some cases, 3 weeks to go yet. But it's going to be fun, and we're going to be here for it, Jandy. I'm excited.
Love it. Can't wait.
All right. Well, he's Jason Andair. I'm Nate Weck. We'll see you next week here on Game Time.